Hi, Marty Lurie here, KMBR 680. What a thrill to have John Shea with us. I mean that, San Francisco Chronicle. John, a very special weekend and inductions. Talk about the baseball players going in, but there's certain awards that are very important. The J.G. Taylor Spink Award, named for the founder of the Sporting News, at least his father was, which acknowledges the outstanding baseball writer, and the Ford C. Frick Award, which is a broadcasting award, which goes to Dick Enberg this year. But the one I want to talk about is Tom Gage of the Detroit Daily News, formerly, and what you know about him, because this is the essence of baseball reporting.
Yeah, Tom, from afar, I've always admired him. He's one of those guys in the trenches type, you know, sorry to use that phraseology, but he wants to be a beat guy. He wants to be in the daily grind. He doesn't want to step back, become a national guy. He doesn't want to step back and become a columnist. Doesn't want to step back and become a TV personality. He just loves writing and covering one team every single day of the year. And it's kind of old school. You don't see that so much anymore. We saw locally with Nick Peters, who went in several years ago and passed just a couple of years ago, and it seems like some of these writers, when they put in 3 or 4 years, they want to become a columnist. Okay, now I want to become a TV personality. Now I want to go on the radio and have a talk show. And it's like, well, wait, where are your roots? You know, sometimes these guys forget where they came from. You know, the whole essence of beat writing is, you know, it's a tough job. It's a grind, like I said. And you don't see many people hanging out too long doing it. In fact, we're very lucky to have Henry Schulman and Susan Slusser. You can't find another two-team market with reporters who have been on the beat for that long and obviously that good.
Well, Tom Gage was one of them in Detroit. I remember John Lowe. I always call him the guy with the hat. You know, he wore a sort of a Panama hat all the time. But many great writers, Joe Falls, came out of Detroit as well. And Tom Gage was in that class and worked for the Detroit Daily News.
Yeah, I think he came in around mid-'80s, right around the time the Tigers were getting good. They went to the 84 World Series, and it's funny because I was covering the Padres, and that's the team they played in the World Series. Detroit much better than Tony Gwynn's team. Tony, in his first full season, they had Garvey, that team that got off to such a great start. I remember, and Tom and I worked at the same news service, Gannett News Service, together. So we exchanged a lot of stories between each other about the teams back then. And I just remember him as a guy who, you know, doesn't really care about the glamour, and not that there's a whole lot of glamour in this business, right? But just, and I think I heard him say going into this weekend, you know, he's going to have to give a speech. And he said he's never, ever spoken, you know, in front of thousands of people. Marty, you do that every weekend, you know, maybe tens or hundreds of thousands, whatever it is. And so he's a little nervous. And the neat thing about this is, you know, for me, I'm kind of selfish. I like following what other writers are doing. So for me, it's cool. I'm not sure how the ratings are going to be, you know, on the MLB Network or wherever it's going to show when the writer of the year stands up and talks. They say for 2 minutes, but, you know, it's always about 10. I enjoy it. I'm not sure if others do. They probably rather see the broadcaster get up and spin some yarn.
Well, maybe a little bit more personality with the broadcaster. Dick Enberg is going in. But John Shea is with us of the Chronicle. Does a great job connecting the dots of the generations of baseball and telling us a good story about Tom Gage, who gets the J.G. Taylor Spink Award. John, some of the previous winners of this award, we kind of looked at the list, kind of an interesting list of names.
Yeah, like I said, Nick Peters covered the Giants for 47 years. I mean, who does that? Who does that? 47 years is just a lifetime. And that's all he wanted to do. Like I didn't, he didn't want to step back and become anything other than what he was. And fortunately for him, he was able to live that out. But, you know, yeah, recently we've had some other names like him. Bob Elliott, you know, from Toronto, was pretty much just a beat writer, and he was kind of groundbreaking in calling a lot of the Canadians who came across and played, you know, along with the, you know, Toronto dynasty of the early 90s. Larry Whiteside out of Boston, first African-American to win that award, and that was a special thing. You know, of late, Bill Madden, you know, you probably know him because he's written books. Most recently, you know, a book about the New York Giants. Roger Angel as well. Now, it's supposed to go to somebody in the lifetime member of the BBWAA and somebody who was a beat writer. But I think there might be, it's okay to have an exception or two. I mean, Roger Angel was 90 plus. He's given us so many good books, so many good stories. I mean, that was really cool to see him. That was kind of an exception. But for the most part, I dig that they give the awards. I mean, sometimes, Peter Gammon's fine. Okay, put him in, some other guys who have gone on to bigger and better or whatever. You know, Tracy Ringlesby might be more of a writer than anything else, but now Hal McCoy is a good name out of Cincinnati. He's just a lifetime beat writer. I think he works at a paper in Dayton in which there's only been three Cincinnati beat writers. That's how long those guys stayed there.
Beautiful.
In the history of that team.
No, you're right. Yeah. And it goes back to Earl Lawson, who was one of them, and I know that. And then Hal McCoy, of course, was part of it. But I really enjoy having you on because this award to me is the award that goes to the heart of baseball, the people whose heart is in baseball, their passions in baseball, and it comes across. You tell the story every single day as a beat writer, and this is the heart of baseball.
Yeah, it really is. And in the old days when there wasn't TV or there wasn't radio, people relied more on the written word to know the scoop, the skinny, what was coming down, what was happening, what's new, what's going to come. And the industry has really changed, obviously, Marty, as you know, because now we can't tell the story just about the game. Everybody knows what happened in the game. So now we have to deliver something that you didn't see, something you didn't know about. So if you either pick up the paper in the morning or read us an hour or 2 hours or 10 minutes after the last pitch, you're going to find out something new that you didn't know about in the broadcast or you didn't know about while you were sitting in the front row or out in the bleachers. And that's a different art. That's a different art of the game. But I love it because early in my sports writing days, I worked at a few afternoon papers. And that was like that was like how you're supposed to write now. You're not supposed to write about the game. That's what we were told back then. You're supposed to kind of outright the morning guys and present it in a fashion that is a little bit better described and better suited for the person who might read it the second day. And that's I think what all these young writers have to learn. Hey, you can't just depend on the numbers. You can't just depend on a 6-4-3 or whatever the player tells you. You really have to dig farther to get the story that is going to be smart, interesting, and make that reader want to come back tomorrow.
Those are the words of John Shea. John, you do it well. I appreciate you being on. Tom Gage, congratulations. And more coming up right here. John, thanks so much.
Yeah, my pleasure, Marty. Thanks a lot.
All right, more coming up on KMBR 680, the sports leader.